Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's good, everybody? Welcome to Land Grant Holy Land's Instant Recap Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Williams. As always, I'm here with my co-host, Christopher Rennie. I'm not going to ask you how you're doing because I know how you're doing, so let's just get into the show. Honestly, I don't feel prepared to be the voice that everyone hears for the first time that Ohio State has lost in 10 years. I feel like this is low-key a lot of pressure to kind of talk about the emotions of the game, what went wrong, and this be the last Instant Recap podcast for 3-4 weeks until the Rose Bowl, because we're not going to be in the championship game. So I really don't know how you're feeling. Well, I know how you're feeling, but I really don't know how you feel about doing this podcast, but that is what we're tasked with. So as always, I want to start just with your initial thoughts.
Yeah, Jordan, thanks for the introduction here. I don't know if I was ready for this instant recap. You know, it's always tougher to do them when Ohio State loses, but I feel like usually when Ohio State loses, it's kind of more of a sad feeling, but like today I'm kind of pissed off. I think the coaching staff honestly failed today. I think I wrote it down because I thought about this earlier. I wanted to tweet it, but I didn't. I held back to like withhold hope, but I said, you prepare 365 days a year, and then you go out and get bullied like this. So you're either lying about taking this rivalry serious, and that's not what we see here, and, or they were just the better team today. And I think it's a combination of both, because when you watch Michigan come out, there was a fire underneath them. You could see it in their coaching staff. There was intent in every single thing they did. They said, hey, we're going to run the football. We're going to kick their ass, and they did the entire game. Front seven, they were better. And it pisses me off because I feel like Ryan Day has had performances like this. But in big games, we talk about this all the time, he's usually had his team prepared enough to get the win. It's just unfortunately today there was a team who could take advantage of all the weaknesses Ohio State's shown this season. But the thing that pisses me off the most is just the pure lack of discipline, the false starts, the holdings. I think the refs did a good job of staying out of the game for the most part. There were a few questionable missed calls, but overall, I think execution, play calling, you know, the list can go top to bottom. Michigan checks more boxes on what they did well, and that's why they beat us today.
Yeah, you're 100% right. Yeah, and it's funny that you said that, because I almost tweeted that. I literally thought that, like, you prepare 365 days. I had that exact same thought, and this is how you show up. Because they do, and I know they do. Like, I was literally making fun of the Michigan video that they put out, because even them talking about the rivalry, there was no real emotion, no real fire. Like, it didn't feel like they had taken it serious. And with Ohio State, you know that they always take it serious. And that is even more mind-blowing because they did take it serious, obviously. They came out with a fire. They came out with a desire to win. And there's one thing that we talked about on the Buck Off podcast is that it doesn't feel like Michigan players, especially players not from Michigan, really understand this rivalry. And I think it can't be understated how important Aiden Hutchinson was to that team, because I think he made them understand it, with one being their best player and his dad being a Michigan player who went undefeated against Ohio State. I think he was undefeated, or maybe it was the one tie. You said it on Buck Off. And just like that kind of burning desire to finally get a win, where I feel like a lot of the other players, especially again from the state of Michigan, didn't feel that way because Michigan never made them feel that way. Whereas with Ohio, you have guys from Texas, Florida, California, all over the places that won't stay Michigan for the rest of their lives after 4 years at Ohio State. And so I do think that that really played into it, having a leader like that. But it's just like Ohio State played their worst game in a while. And they still could have won. Like, that's the most disappointing thing for me is, even though they were dominated, it never felt like they were out of it because it was clear that they were the better team who beat themselves. And I don't want to disrespect Michigan by saying Ohio State beat themselves, because Michigan did dominate on the offensive side of the ball. That is very factual. But even that last touch, the second to last touchdown, when they scored 35 points, if Ohio State doesn't take two field goals, that score is 35-28. And they're going to tie the game instead of taking a big lead.
Yeah.
And so it's like, even though Michigan did everything they wanted to do, if Ohio State executes like they're supposed to, they're still winning that game. It's still a 2 or 3 score lead, and they didn't. And at least defensively, I don't feel like it was Michigan's defense that stopped Ohio State. And that is the most frustrating thing, because I've said it all year, there's not one team in the country that can hold Ohio State under 30 points. The only team that can hold Ohio State under 30 points is Ohio State, and they did that today.
Yeah, and I don't want to take anything away, because honestly, I think, you know, as a fan who was born in 96, past the Cooper era is when I started watching. So I really got to start watching Ohio State versus Michigan at its peak for Ohio State, you know, like 16 out of 17, like an unbelievable run. The series is still very much, it's a rivalry game. Like, this, the tables were bound to unfortunately turn at some point. And the reason I don't want to take anything away from them, because they had a bunch of, they were an old team. They were a veteran team. Hassan Haskins has been there for a while. Aiden Hutchinson's been there a while. You know, just looking at David Njabo, has been there a while. What's his name? The running back, Ross, he's been there a while. They had a group of individuals who had never been able to put it together in their 3, 4, 5 years there. It took Ohio State having its youngest roster in almost a decade to beat Ohio State. And it's unfortunate because, like you said, it came down to execution on both sides. But I don't think Ohio State really had an identity that was physical. You know, I think that's the differentiator between the last couple Ohio State teams with Ryan Day. The last two were very physical football teams. It started up front with guys like Wyatt Davis, Josh Myers, and then even the tackles kind of fed into that. But, you know, even defensively, Tough Borland, Pete Werner, those guys were absolutely physical in this game. The only person I saw on the defense getting really chippy was Cam Brown, and that's because they were playing dirty. But at the end of the day, it was all bark, no bite. It was the flip side of what we've seen the last 10 years. Ohio State was the mouth. They were not the fists. And Michigan punched them and kept punching and kept punching and kept punching until Ohio State really just ran out of time. Because, and you know, the thing is, they didn't, because Michigan would have just kept running the ball down the field, 5 plays,
yep,
80 yards until this game ended.
Yeah, 100%. And that's why it's a line of respecting what Michigan did, especially in the running game, and being disgusted by what Ohio State did, because they still should have won the game. I want to talk about two positives before we continue down this trend. Jackson Smith and Jigba played well. CJ Stroud played well.
Yeah, both of them played very gutsy too, honestly. Anytime, like I think a lot of people, like, you know, an old land grant friend, Patrick Mayhorn, a few other guys that we follow, and like, you know, they have relationships with Land-Grant Holy Land, said it very well, where they said, like, it's just pure I lost it. But I think you're headed there. Like, Ohio State just got beat. They did. It's just plain and simple. And it was just what did it say? Ryan Day disaster class, like, offensively. But C.J. Stroud did all this great stuff in spite of one of the worst offensive game plans I think Ohio State's had in 2 decades.
I mean, he had the biggest run of his career, and it didn't count because and the I do agree with you that for the most part the refs played.
Yeah, well. That one.
I'm not playing well, but like the refs didn't call bad penalties. They let him play on both sides. There was a lot of aggression and you know a lot of stuff, and they didn't immediately just kind of. They didn't decide the outcome of the game, but that was not a hold.
That was he slipped,
and that was a and we still scored, so it didn't do anything because we scored and the offense, the defense didn't get a stop afterwards. But just to the point of CJ Stroud playing well, that was the biggest run of his
career. Yeah,
he finally run, he triggered, and he did what fans have been calling for him to do forever, and then he didn't go down.
No, he
didn't
slide.
He didn't – like, he ran with fire until he got to the end.
You know, and that's one thing. Like, I know the receivers – I mean, Chris Olave didn't probably – he didn't have his biggest stat game, but he made an incredible catch when they needed him to most. Mm-hmm. He was big on third down. Jackson Smith and Jigba did his thing on third down. You know, Garrett Wilson – made one of the most incredible catches I've ever seen. I think the moment was too big for some of the offensive linemen. I do. I think we saw a lot of bad snaps, a lot of false start penalties. You know, DeJuan Jones got worked. NPF probably had his worst game against Aiden Hutchinson, which we said on the pregame in our Buck Off podcast that the battles between the edge rushers and our tackles is going to be a huge deciding factor.
Yeah, and I think I tweeted it before. I think I tweeted it today, or maybe it was yesterday. I wasn't worried about Ojabo.
No
disrespect to him, but I wasn't worried about him.
And he did do much.
He made one play all game, and when it was a severe passing down, it was third and whatever at the end of the game. I knew that we could defeat him one on one. What I didn't expect is that for Hutchinson to be Bosa?
Yeah,
because I didn't think he was that all year. He had a great year. But there was a difference, and part of that difference is the Bosa brothers showed up at every single critical moment. Literally, back-to-back Penn State games, a different Bosa brother won us a one-point game because they made a play when it mattered most. And that's what – like, I didn't – like, I knew he was good, but I wasn't expecting him to be a Bosa. And think about his three sacks. I know for a fact the first two came on third down, but I'm pretty sure the third one did too. No, the third one was on first down, but it was on first down when we were threatening.
Yes.
But his first one, third and goal. His second one, one of the few third and shorts we've had the entire freaking game. Because that's another issue we need to talk about, the fact that we were in third and long the entire time. That made us punt or field goal, whatever. I think I'm pretty sure we punted. We didn't get points on that drive. And then the other one, we're threatening, and he gets one on first down. And just makes it behind the sticks, continuing the trend of being behind the sticks.
Yeah.
But at least two of the three were at the important moments of the game. And that is a Bosa play, to get a sack when it matters the most.
Yeah, and you know, I understand, like, trusting your guys. But, like, when you saw the damage he did in the first half to the game plan, especially throwing – even when he didn't get the sacks, he was still getting a lot of pressure and forcing Stroud outside the pocket – and forcing him to get the ball out quick, you know, on even some of the longer developing plays, like, you know, relying on young running backs to assist in pass protection is kind of a dangerous game. It just didn't seem like, you know, when Ohio State took advantage of George Karloftis, it was attacking him with motion, sweeps, jets, all these different things, bunch formation, shifting, sugar huddles, all these little like more gimmicky things. And it seemed like, once again, similar to the Oregon game, Ryan Day said, our guys are going to win this game. And once again, he got a little too either cautious or confident. I don't know which one it is at this point, because
I know which one it is. It's cautious. And I had Buckeye fans yelling at me for tweeting. Yeah, I had Buckeye fans yelling at me for tweeting this, and I literally could care less. Ryan Day is the biggest bully in sports.
Yeah, no, you're right. Because I 100% agree with
because
that.
Because it doesn't matter who you're playing. If you are not actually on the level of Ohio State, they will blow you out the water. Ryan Day is going to come up with a million different packages and motions and shifts and everything to out-execute you. But every single time the game really, really matters, just like a bully, the bully loves to pick on the kid that's 4 or 5 feet inches shorter than them. But as soon as somebody that gets in their face that's either willing to challenge them or the same size as them, he shits the bed. except Clemson, and Clemson was overrun by Petty Ryan Day.
Yeah.
He has two personalities, in my opinion. It's Petty Ryan Day and it's Bully Ryan Day. And against Clemson, Petty Ryan Day won. That's fine. But every other big game, and I will name them for the people who don't believe me, Northwestern, Indiana, Alabama, Penn State, Nebraska, that and Michigan. Six out of the last seven big games that they needed to win. Oh, and Oregon. Well,
yeah, Oregon. Yeah,
Oregon. I'm not going to include Oregon. It's just like that wasn't really him. That was just a young team.
Yeah.
So six out of the last seven big games against teams, whether it was just because it was a big game or because they were willing to challenge, whatever it was, Ryan Day shit the bed offensively. Now, yes, you can counter and say that they won most of those games, but they didn't win those games because of Ryan Day.
They won.
They won by out-talenting teams. And Michigan wasn't going to be out-talented, and Alabama just said, fuck them, excuse my language, and just did what they had to do. But they barely beat Northwestern. That game should have never been close. They barely beat Penn State. They barely beat Nebraska. That game should have never been close.
Yeah.
It's
really reflective, and I think you can see it in a lot of these little mental mistakes, the false starts, the lack of awareness, the wasting like 4 minutes off the clock in that last drive when you really should not have been melting the clock that much. It's very common, like discipline starts with the coaching staff. And I think this coaching staff this year got very lackadaisical. I think they weren't as good at crossing the T's and dotting the I's. But once again, like you said, they were able to out-talent most of the schedule. The two teams that were able to match the talent to some extent were Oregon and Michigan. They came in,
they lost both,
and they beat us. And they beat Ohio State with physicality and execution in key moments. That's exactly what happened today. And when you talk about the coaching staff, that is the biggest reflection of the last 2 years, is that they when you get matched, and the team's soft is pretty much what I'm saying. These Ryan Day teams have been soft.
Yeah, and if you want a cop-out answer for Oregon and Michigan, you could simply say that those two teams had – older teams, and so they were able to rally some of it, and Ohio State had younger teams. And I don't want to entirely discredit that, because I do think that does slightly matter. A lot of people talked about going into this season that there were going to be a lot of interesting things that happened this year, because a lot of teams are going to have 4, 5, and 6 year seniors, and it's going to shake up some stuff, whereas the best teams, they're not going to have that, because you're not going to return for a 5th or 6th year when you're going to the NFL. And I think there's some credit to that, because Alabama hasn't looked great. Ohio State hasn't looked great. Clemson hasn't looked great. Like, those top teams who didn't have the 4th, 5th, and 6th year seniors, they struggled a little bit. And some of those young up-and-comers who did, there were some upsets, some things like that. I do think there's a little bit of credit to that. But also, at the same time, as a coaching staff, you need to be able to coach a young team. And so I'm trying to, you know, find some balance. And I do think, just going back to the summer, I think Day kind of knew this was going to happen, because he really cautioned a lot of the big talk about this team and kept talking about how they were young and stuff like that. And so I think that if you go back to that, you could say, again, trying to find a positive, that they knew that this was going to happen and that this was a young team and it was experienced and nobody had played, and coming off the pandemic and losing all these players, that none of this is a surprise. And if you wanted to make that argument, I would hear you. But at the end of the day, you have to play the games. And that is fine to have that opinion and to have that belief. But when you see a game that is clearly winnable, and you don't win it because you don't execute, and you don't win it because you don't call good plays, and you don't win it because you have a million stupid penalties, and you don't win it because your team is just not tough, I can't understand that. The team's not tough because they're young. They just weren't tough.
Yeah. And some of these young guys, the moment was too big for them. I know Denzel Burke's been dealing with an injury, but this is his worst game of his young career so far. And
it's the first time I've seen him get beat, and he got beat twice.
Yeah, Cody Simon was kind of embarrassing today, honestly. I think the defensive line, I think they need to turn in their cards, man. I want the seniors to move on. I want the young guys to get their shot next year. Any guys returning, I think it's time to move past them.
It's just
kind of embarrassing, honestly, the effort up front.
I want to ask you a question because I can't remember if I said this or not. At some point in the summer, did I bring up the conversation about how we always talk about Coach Stud, but we don't talk about Larry Johnson in the same way?
Yeah.
And how he's had some bad recruiting classes. I didn't make that up. I actually did bring that up.
You right? did.
I've had that
We've had that a conversation okay. a few times.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure because I hate revisionist history, and I didn't want to bring up something that, like, you know, there are some things that you don't say on the podcast that you've been, like, feeling, and I didn't want to just, like, throw it out there and people be like, you've never said that before. So I wanted to make sure it's actually a conversation we had that people who've listened for a while may have heard. But, like, I've been saying all year that they need to fire the entire defensive coaching staff except Coach Johnson. And at this point, I'm ready to include him in.
Yeah.
Because everyone on the defensive line is a miss. Haskell Garrett played great, but he got bullied this game. So maybe he's not.
He still played Tyreek well. That's like the issue.
Well, he played decent in the first. He played well in the first
quarter. Yeah, and then the second half started. Because the D tackles ended up being a surprise strength for this team. And they just got bullied because Michigan's biggest strength on their offensive line was the opposite of Ohio State's. They were really good in their middle three, so it matched up perfectly. Yeah. And our defensive ends didn't do anything.
And it's like we talked about it. The Bosa years, part of the reason the Bosas were able to go off is because they had a second guy. Once Chase Young got there, it's been going downhill for the defensive line. Chase Young was an exceptional individual talent. But the defensive line around him had nobody else. When Joey was there, they had players.
Yeah.
Jonathan Cooper was a little bit later, but they had other guys. They had why am I gonna forget his name? Who's the guy that played lacrosse? He's on the bench.
Sam Hubbard.
When Joey was there, they had Sam Hubbard. When Nick was there, they had other people and Jonathan Cooper and Chase Young. When Chase Young was there, they had no one. They had Jonathan Cooper, who thankfully took a red shirt and came back. But He wasn't. They didn't have anyone but Chase Young. Chase Young left. There was no one else. There was no one in the wings.
Yeah.
Tyreek Smith wasn't it. Zach Harrison wasn't it. These are five-star players who didn't get developed. And then we have these young guys who you think are going to do it. And once the game mattered, he stopped playing them. I don't know if Jack Sawyer played at all today.
I don't think he did. I saw JTT in. But JTT struggled in the run game because he's young. And, like, you can't expect him to just come in and be the physicality that's missing. You know, that's just that's just bad rotations. That's, you know, like you said, in recruiting, there have been a few misses. That's why you had a true freshman starting at corner this year. Like, that's why.
And some of those misses have been with.
What do you always say? It's like when you're a college football player and you've been there 4 or 5 years, mm-hmm. that means you're not good enough to be a pro. And that's what we saw today.
You're not.
Aiden Hutchinson
is
a junior, right? Or is he a senior?
No, he's a fifth-year guy.
Oh, he's a fifth-year guy. Well, regardless, like Aiden Hutchinson is a pro player, and he came back for personal reasons.
Yeah, like he should have went last year. Like he didn't come back to improve. He did improve his draft stock, which
he would have been a high top 15 pick last year.
He didn't come back to improve his draft stock. He came back because he wanted to beat Ohio State. That was it. That was it. It wasn't, I want to be a first-round pick. I need more sacks. I need to do any of that. It was, I want to beat Ohio State. That was his sole reason.
And it's
just crazy. And I know we talked about it before. Some of it is just the spoiledness of Ohio State fans. It is unrealistic, like, to go from Joey Bosa to Nick Bosa to Chase Young. No one else in the country does that. When Aiden Hutchinson leaves, Michigan has nobody. We may beat Michigan by 75 next year because there's nobody on their freaking roster.
That's as good as just Aiden being Hutchinson. Honest. Aiden everyone Hutchinson probably played 75% of their defensive snaps. I don't think he came off the field.
Literally everyone who was of any value to Michigan this year was like a six-year senior. Josh Ross, David Ojabo, Aiden Hutchinson, Daxton Hill. That's his name, right? The safety?
Yeah, old guy.
Daxton Hill. He's like in his, he might be in his seventh year.
The only young guy on their defense that was playing significant was their slot corner.
And he got burned.
He was getting torched.
He made good plays when it counted to kind of towards the end, but he got torched a bunch by Jackson Smith and Jigba. So, and I don't even know where I'm going with this. I was rambling. I forgot.
That's kind of what happens when we lose, though.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's just kind of like,
yeah.
Oh, I know where I was going. I'm not sure Larry Johnson needs to be safe anymore. I'm just not.
Yeah.
Because what is, like you can say he got JT. JTT, he didn't like being called JTT, JT, JTT, whatever you want to call him. You can say he got that. And I would give him credit. But who, like how many people has he lost, though?
Yeah.
Like, he lost the dude at USC, Corey Foreman. He lost him. He lost someone to Alabama, or multiple people to Alabama. He lost another one to Clemson, and I don't remember all their names. I just know he lost them. He lost another five-star.
He lost McClellan to someone this week.
To Florida.
Yeah, to Florida.
To Florida. Florida, who doesn't have a coach, by the way.
Yeah.
McClellan.
I think this class is going to be a lot harder because how many people they got last year, but still, you need to – And it's, the kid from, Duncanville, he's a take, so he's probably coming.
But yeah, they lost, I can't think of his name because we're not recruiting experts unless we're right. But they lost the dude to Texas A&M.
Yeah, he was never coming north, though.
It's just like, outside of JTT, who had the weirdest recruitment ever, in the last 4 years,
Zach Harrison was that huge. He was the huge five star
that wasn't from Ohio.
Yeah, there wasn't any. It was Tyree Smith was from Ohio. He was a 65th ranked recruit or something like that. Zach Harrison was from Ohio. Ended up
and
not
so
being
Zach Sawyer
as yeah Jack Sawyer from Ohio. I think
JTT who had the weirdest recruitment ever. He's lost every single big recruitment in the last 4 years, unless they were from Ohio.
Yeah, we talk a lot about how a recruiting class can take shape and be a really good recruiting class and still miss at positions just because there's been five or six five-star receivers and quarterbacks. The class's value is getting taken up, but that doesn't hide the misses at other positions, which is what we saw today. And you know, if you're going to have players that stay 4 to 5 years, they need to develop into better players each and every year. To me, it didn't feel like Tyreek Smith got any better this year. To me, it didn't feel like Zach Harrison got any better this year. And that's the biggest issue.
Zach Harrison had 3 sacks all year.
And he was supposed to be a first-round pick. And he's a freak athlete, don't get me wrong. But, like, that doesn't mean anything if you're not making plays. I think we're going to be extremely young at the linebacker position next year outside of Steel Chambers. And I'd honestly even wager him as a young player on the defense because he just got there. So it's really just, I think this coaching staff's gone stale. I think it needs some wholesale changes because
everyone needs to be fired.
Look at the other side. What did Jim Harbaugh do? He said, this isn't working. My friend Don Brown isn't doing his job. My friend here isn't doing his job. You know, you could put Band-Aids over stuff, but, like, if you put duct tape on a leaky pipe, eventually it's going to burst, like, just over time. And that's what happened today. That's what's happened this year. And whether it's Kevin Wilson helping with this game plan, whether it's Ryan Day needing to give up play calling, you know, the only coach that's safe is Brian Hartline. He's the only coach that's safe, in my opinion.
At this point.
And I look up north because that's what we were – the day since Ohio State's beating Michigan has gone to zero. It's zero, and we won't get to restart that clock until next year. It's been X amount of days since Michigan beat Ohio State. Well, guess what? It's zero right now. So you look up there, see what they did, and you match that because guess what? Michigan now is playing for a national title. They're playing for a berth in the college football playoff. They're playing for a Big Ten championship. They have –
because I think they beat Wisconsin, so they're in the –
they playoffs. Have everything and then they have- we want.
And then they beat – literally, their path is what ours should have been. They're going to beat Wisconsin, and I really truly believe that because everyone – that's the big – that's literally the reason why I think every coach in the West should be fired is that it doesn't matter who comes out.
It's just a nice resume boost.
Michigan or Penn State. they're always going to be favored against the West because they're not like that. So they're going to be Wisconsin. They're going to be the 2 seed in the playoffs, and they're going to play freaking Cincinnati or Oregon State or some shit. Michigan is going to be in the national championship this year.
And, you know, honestly, yeah, I might catch some fire for this. Jim Harbaugh deserves it because guess what he did? He went, he looked in the mirror. He said, hey, pay me less money. I don't care. I want to keep this job and give me more money to hire really good assistant coaches. Went out, hired 6 new coaches, all under the age of 45, all younger, all passionate about recruiting, all passionate about turning this thing around, all pulling in the same direction. You know, Don Brown was halfway out the door. He was retiring. Now he's got a head coaching job at New Mexico or something, UMass. Mike McDonald's going to be a head coach come January. That's how talented he was as a coach.
Yes.
So
I agree 100%. We talked about that on Buck.
Guess what? Josh Gattis.
After this game, he sealed the
deal. Josh Gattis might get a head coaching job after this game. That's what this game means, and that's how Jim Harbaugh treated it. You know what? Yeah, I'm going back to it. 365 days for this. That's what. You know, the other side, they prepared every day for this moment because, you know,
it doesn't feel like Ohio State truly
historically, you know, during the initial part of Tressel, Michigan football was what Ohio State was aspiring to be. They wanted to be national champions. They wanted to run the Big Ten. They got there. They climbed the mountain. They were on top of the mountain for a while. Guess what? It's finally time someone climbed up there too and kicked us off. Now it's time to look in the mirror, look around this coaching staff. Studer, you miss again, you're out. Worst performance. Worst performance I've ever seen from the offensive line. Defensive line. This is the worst coaching job Larry Johnson's had from week 1 to week 12 since he's been at Ohio State.
And it's been declining for years.
Obviously, we've talked about the defensive backs. Al Washington's out. I don't care. You don't take a head coaching job. Go coach in the MAC. I don't care. You're gone. This is me if I'm Ryan Day. I'm cutting everybody off. I'm restarting. I'm going to the NFL. I'm getting some friends. I'm saying, hey, Christina Johnson, let's raise this assistant coaching salary. I've got some names I need in here. We're going to recruit at the same level because we're Ohio State. It doesn't matter who's in the room. It's time to go and win, and it's time to look in the mirror. And I know we said it after the Oregon game. Ohio State really got to look in the mirror after that one. They made some fixes. But now it's time to really look at yourself in the mirror, make some wholesale changes, because getting exposed by Alabama last year was embarrassing, all things considered. You know, losing in that gut-wrenching fashion to Clemson was eye-opening. The games that have mattered most, Day showed up in a few of them, but he's also embarrassed himself a few times. And next year is a prove-it year, honestly, because I don't think Ohio State fans are patient.
No, absolutely not, especially when you lose this game. I have another credit to Michigan because they do deserve it. Harbaugh did the one thing that mattered the most. Outside of, well, first of all, he was gifted Mike McDonald. Shout out to having a brother who's a better coach than you because, beautiful.
Yeah.
But he did the other thing. He finally, I gave Aiden Hutchinson credit. The one person I didn't give credit to is Mike Hart. Having him back,
yeah,
I think also
reinvigorated the program, a lot of the energy.
Person who, like, Harbaugh's like, Harbaugh, first of all, Harbaugh's just not that guy. Like, we're going to give him some credit.
He finally did.
But he's not the emotional leader. He's weird. I don't think his players like him.
I do think he's got some, you know, they're not for everyone, but he's got that endearing Michigan weirdness, I'll call it. Like, he is a Michigan man, and that does sit well with everyone up there. But the players, like, they got younger in the coaching staff. They got more relatable. Mike Hart got his first win against Ohio State and came coaching. So there's that. And
but that was my point. I don't think Harbaugh, he's weird. I don't think he doesn't. First of all, I just don't think he cares about the rivalry, especially because he was in the NFL for so long and Stanford doesn't have a rival. So, like, he has his good things and his bad things. But Mike Hart, I genuinely believe, cares about the rivalry, just like Charles Woodson. Like, I watched the – just like Juwan Howard, like, I watched the Big Noon kickoff. Yeah. And there are people in this country, Michigan grads, who genuinely feel the way about the rivalry that Ohio State does. And I don't think Harbaugh is one of them, but getting Mike Hart helped. And he deserved credit for that because I'm not sure he deserved credit because I'm pretty sure people said that that was somebody else's idea. But he does, I mean, he kind of deserves credit for like acquiescing and letting it happen. But getting people in the building who actually care about the rivalry helped Michigan. They had Aiden Hutchinson on defense. They had Mike Hart on offense. And Harbaugh swallowed his fucking pride.
And became the CEO and didn't meddle.
And it worked. For a year, it worked. But and to your point, and I'm glad you brought it up because I was ready to talk about it. Everyone needs to be fired. I don't care who they hire. I don't.
Sometimes freshness is all you need.
Yeah, and not having freshness is literally Clemson's downfall. I tweeted that not that long ago. Stud needs to go because he's needed to go for years because he can't win a battle for anyone that's not from Ohio. And he's not Ohio's recruiter. He hasn't won a battle. Winning in Ohio doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Winning in Ohio is
expensive. Especially with the offensive line. Like, you throw a wrench down. Offensive line are some of the most passionate people. They grow up passionate. It's a job you have to be passionate about. And they're big fans of Ohio State. They just need the offer thrown at them. They're going to take it 99% of the time.
Yep. He needs to go. So that's one. Al Washington needs to go. Kerry Coombs needs to go.
Oh, he's gone. He's gone.
Matt Barnes. I like Matt Barnes.
But he's not a defensive coordinator. I think we saw it today.
I think this season would have been a lot worse without him. But I think he needs someone else. We talked about it.
We need a veteran presence.
We were like, we need someone else. I'm not mad if Matt Barnes doesn't get fired, but he needs someone else. Keenan Bateman's the QB coach. Who's the special teams coordinator?
Parker Fleming,
get him out.
Yeah. Whatever happened with the special teams unit today was disgusting. I don't know. Like, Julian Fleming, dude, like, you did it the first time. He should not have been back there again after the ball landed in front of him. This is one thing, and I used to return kicks in high school, so guess what? I have some experience. I was more of a punt returner, but I returned kicks too. The up back is not there to catch the football. If it is kicked to him, he runs forward. And your job is to be the center fielder. In baseball, the center fielder, any ball in the outfield the center fielder can get to is his because he's supposed to be the best fielder. And that's why there's a kick returner back there, because he has a special talent. And if you can't do the one easy part of the special talent, what was the point? Why not just put Garrett Wilson back there? Why not just put someone who can catch it and then get the ball to 25? And the first drive of the game started at the 4. That was literally the embodiment of what happened after that.
And literally, you made a great point, because everyone that talks about Jameson Williams and all this other kind of stuff, the reason why he never returned a kick at Ohio State is because he couldn't catch it. And you know what they did? They said, we get the ball at the 25. We're going to put someone who's not really an athlete out there who will catch it 100% of the time. Somehow, Jameson Williams learned how to catch it, and now he's returning kicks for Alabama, which is just shitty for us. But like, when he was back there, he could never catch the ball. Even an injured Emeka Mbuka could have caught the ball. I know he could have, because he's never dropped one. If he doesn't need to return it, but he needs to catch it. He let two today drop, and this is not the first time that he did it. Also, the decision not to kick the ball out of the end zone on Michigan's last drive, where they got the ball on the freaking 40 because they returned it, that's also on Parker Fleming. Get him out of there. He's out of there. Who else is out of there? Like, everyone's on. And we talked about this before. Someone on the offensive staff needs to be fired solely because, not because they're all bad, because I do like Kevin Wilson. I'm sure Keenan Bailey's cool, but they need to fire someone on the offensive staff because they need another defensive staff coach.
Yeah.
Because the staff is uneven. So they either need to not be the quarterback
coach. I'm pretty sure Matt Barnes used to be a special teams coach. So just give him the special team responsibilities. Give him a raise. Let him be the defensive backs coach. Yeah.
And the special teams coach, yeah. And then fire Parker Fleming and hire another defensive assistant.
Yeah, I think – I mean, dude, like, we're going to put together – we'll probably put together a list once the offseason gets here just to kind of get into this, because I think this is the first time
– the offseason is
here. Yeah.
It's bowl game now for us.
The offseason, like, this – we're going to get in depth with this. But, like, honestly, this – like, Ryan Day has skated by on his – offensive acumen and the talent he's had. this was the first year, and we saw it with Lincoln Riley too. A lot of guys, you know, who were older, who were supposed to be a lot better. And it's unfortunate. Like Oklahoma's defense sucked. They got a young quarterback in there. They got a little bit better, but not really significantly. That's why Lincoln Riley's going to LSU. This is time for Ohio State to – this is Ryan Day. Ryan Day has to show us who he is again. We saw who he was last year against Clemson, and he didn't show it enough this year. So it's time to be cutthroat. You know, that cutthroat stuff, the petty Ryan Day stuff, it's time to see that again. And I just think this game was – like, you hate it to be this game. You hate it. But this was the type of game you needed to see to get those wholesale changes to get this program back to where it was.
Yeah, and I was going to say that. That's one of the positives, because I was I think I said it on Buck Off last week or 2 weeks ago, but I definitely tweeted it. I was very concerned that the defense made too many changes, that Ryan Day would get comfortable and not fire the defensive staff.
And it
and now there's no now there's no way that
bit him in the ass. And the recruiting hasn't been good enough to warrant this.
They're not good enough. They're not. And I will say this. I do like Matt Barnes. But if it comes down to it, they need to hire Marcus Freeman. And I'm not even sure that he's a good defensive coordinator. I'm really not. Even if they hired Marcus Freeman, and I don't know if he would do it. I really don't. But even if they hired him, I still think they need an older guy to help him. But they at least need to hire him so he can stop recruiting against
us. Yeah, for sure. I was about to say that, and then you got there. So I was like, yeah, just bring him in so he's recruiting for it. It's like that episode of The Office when they had that Danny Cordray guy, like Timothy Oliphant's character, and he was stealing clients from Dunder Mifflin. So Michael Scott's like, hey, come work for me. It's the time. It's business. This is the business. It's a $1 million business. A lot of people's emotions ride on this business. It's entertainment at the end of the day, but at the end of the day, it matters to people. It's a lot of money. Donors pay Ryan Day's salary. There are going to be people coming after him. And if I see any fire Ryan Day tweets, I think you're stupid. That's not what this means.
Like, come on.
Like,
no.
Like, you know, this was not the same as the Fickell year. It was not a completely lost cause. Like, there were still a lot of benefits. And me and Jordan have echoed this earlier. Travion Henderson, freshman. C.J. Stroud, freshman, his first year as a starter. You know, Jackson Smith and Jigba was a huge pleasant surprise. The offensive line was relatively young. I think you're going to get a lot of experience in the middle three. And I think we've got the talent at tackle to kind of reinvigorate the offense.
Tyleek Williams.
Denzel Burke.
Steel Chambers.
Lathan Ransom got a lot of playing time, so next year he'll be coming in more prepared.
Especially if they put him in the right position, which is never playing anyone man-on-man.
You're going to get Josh Proctor back, who's an experienced guy on the back end to help with a lot of this accumulated young talent. Cody Simon's going to get older. Tommy Eichenberg's going to get older. Ronnie Hickman's going to be back. You know, I hope Seven Banks and Cameron Brown leave so we can get some of these younger guys out there. You're getting recruits like CJ Hicks. You guys, it's still, there's a lot of greatness in front of us. And when you look at what it took for a Michigan team to beat Ohio State, it was completely changing everything. It was completely, well, and I'm going to give Harbaugh a lot of credit because I didn't think he could do this, but he refound his identity. He did in the modern
era. I didn't think he could do it
either. I didn't think he was capable.
I thought he could do it. Yeah, I thought he could do it 7 years ago. But I didn't think he could do it now.
And that's kind of where Ohio State needs to go, because there's two things that really beat Ohio State today, and that was effort and physicality, the two most important things in football. And, you know, the
especially in the Big
Ten. The oldest saying in the book is talent or hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work. You could tell that the less talented team put in all the work they needed to get to this point. And it was a culmination of 4 years of 5 years to 6 years of sadness for this group. And they put it together and beat Ohio State's breaks off. So, it was only an 8-point game, but that game was never in doubt for the Wolverines. And you could see it from their fans, from their sidelines, whenever they flashed to Mike McDonald. Josh Gattis had his best play calling game of his career.
And it's really just because he stopped running. He was just like, all right, we're just going to run the ball.
They got into full house. They ran power. They ran counter. They did every single thing that anyone on film could see. I'm not a film expert, but I know enough about football to really break stuff down. He just ran counter. He just ran power, and they dominated Ohio State. And then they'd bring in Blake Corum, and then they'd run a stretch outside zone type run. And then what was new?
So we're going to get a commercial really, really quickly, but I do want to, and I told you I wasn't going to talk about stats, and I understand that I'm the stats guy, but this is not a game to talk about stats. Have you looked at the stats though?
I have not, but I know we probably got outrushed by like at least 200 yards.
That's not even what I'm asking. Okay. How many times do you think Cade McNamara threw the
ball? Like 16.
He threw it 19 times.
Pretty close.
Here's the thing, because I have it in my notes in the first half. Cade McNamara was 10 for 16 in the first half.
They threw the ball three times.
That means they literally – I didn't think I would be able to figure it out, but I was like, wait, no, I can do quick math because I have his first half stats, and I looked at his final stats. They threw the ball three times, and he was 3 for 3 in the second half because he was 10 for 16. He finished 13 for 19 for 159 yards. So quick math, he was 3 for 3 for 46 yards in the second half. They didn't throw the ball at all.
Yeah.
They didn't throw the ball at all. He threw the ball three times in the second quarter, in the second half. And it felt like that. I'm not surprised by that number at all. So,
yeah.
I want to take a quick break really, really quick.
One more stat before that. I got you real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, they did outrush us by 230 yards, 297 to 64 in snow.
Oh, think about it.
In snow.
Oh, my God. That's just, oh, my God.
And, yeah, that's the break. I think that's a good one. We need a break, actually. Right, we need a break.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to keep talking about this game. I do apologize because this podcast may be a little over an hour. We typically skip it there, but there's a lot of things to talk about. I don't think you all will mind this. But one thing I want to talk about is a little bit of recruiting. We're not a recruiting expert, but I want to talk about some of the recruiting misses that led to this game and some of the things that need to be changed. With that, we're going to take a quick break and we will be right back. All right, welcome back to Land Grant Holy Land's instant recap podcast, where we have spent 46 minutes yelling and screaming about everything that went wrong in this game. We've mentioned a few positives in this game because I do think that, you know, not to hype myself with Chris, but I do think that, you know, we do a decent job of providing perspective with Ohio State. Whether it's good or bad, we try to provide perspective. But like I had mentioned right before we went to the ads, hopefully you enjoyed them. Maybe you skipped them. I don't know. I do want to talk a little bit about recruiting and the defensive recruiting. And if you don't listen to these people, maybe you don't know who they are. Maybe you don't care. But we kind of mentioned Ari Wasserman and Bill Landers a lot on this podcast because we listen to them a lot. And one thing, and if you do listen to Ari Wasserman, you understand that you kind of have to be careful with agreeing with him sometimes because he has a tendency to go overboard, which he admits. But one thing that he said over the summer that I kind of agreed with is Ohio, and you mentioned this a little bit earlier on the podcast, is that Ohio State has all of these five stars on their roster, but almost all of them are in two position groups. They're in the quarterback and they're in wide receivers. And he had mentioned before, would you take less five stars in those position groups to have them more spread over the team, to have five star linebackers, to have five star safeties, to have five star defensive linemen? And I would, because at the end of the day, I love Brian Hartline's recruiting. Don't get me wrong. And the preferable method would be to keep his recruiting, keep the quarterback recruiting,
and get better
and
everywhere
just
else.
Have more five, yeah, just have, you know, just increase the number of five stars. But I'm willing. And in general, just whatever, it's not even just this game, but in general, I'm willing to sacrifice a five-star wide receiver or 2 5-star wide receivers every couple of classes to get a five-star defensive end, to get a five-star linebacker, to get a five-star safety, a five-star corner. Like, we get them every once in a while, but the recruiting has been so focused on the offense, and that hurt. When we talked about recruiting misses, I want to go over them again, and I want to see what you have to add to it. Seven Banks is recruiting miss. I won't say Cam Brown's a recruiting miss. He was just injured. Bryson Shaw wasn't a recruiting miss because he was a three-star.
He wasn't really supposed to play this year.
But him playing is a recruiting miss because we didn't have anyone else to play when Josh Proctor got injured. Tyreek Smith, Tyler Friday, Zach Harrison, recruiting misses. Cody Simon, kind of a recruiting miss, seeing that he can't play all the time. I can't even think of any.
Taraja Mitchell. Honestly.
Yeah, Taraja Mitchell. And I'm losing their names right now, but the two linebackers who ended up transferring midseason, recruiting misses.
Hear me out. I know this guy is a freak athlete. Court Williams, you know him, right?
Yes.
I when we look at linebackers, why is he bigger than Cody Simon?
I want to skip Court Williams. I want to talk about Craig Young. Craig Young is 6'3", 225.
Yeah.
Why is he not
playing that apex safety? It doesn't make sense when he's that big and that athletic with how you want your linebackers to be today. Like, I know we have a bullet position, but Ronnie Hickman's fine there. Like, find a way to get Court Williams, who in his little bit of time has been much more physical than Cody Simon, and he's not even a linebacker. Craig Young, same thing. I think he might be better.
I just had to pull up Court Williams because I didn't know how big he was. He's 6'1", 220. That's a linebacker. And like I'm not that I was saying that you were wrong. I just didn't know. So I couldn't really comment on it because I didn't realize how big he was. 6'1", 220 is a linebacker in the NFL right now. Why is he literally like, what are you talking
just
about?
Wasting him away as a backup bullet in safety? Like,
That doesn't make any sense.
Like,
what happened? That's a
when
linebacker.
We got Steel Chambers, who's like 6'2", 230 as a running back over there.
Yeah, and that's what I made the point about all the time. And here's the thing: you don't need him at cover safety because you have I'm trying to look at you have Legend Cavazos, who again, did he even play this year?
He played, yeah. He was like
a little bit.
He was probably the fourth or fifth corner.
Okay, Legend Cavazos is 6'195". He could play the bullet. I'm literally going through the linebackers of people.
Marcus Williamson's the smallest DB we have, and he played the bullet at times.
Literally. Cameron Martinez, 5'10", 192. We saw what happened when he got the ball in the end. He could have played the bullet. Lathan Ransom, 6'1", 205. He should have been the bullet over the cover safety. And, well, first of all, he really shouldn't have because we had Ronnie Hickman. But to your point of a backup bullet and not having
Court Williams. This is something, too, from a coaching standpoint. You know, Ohio State has really went to this 4-2-5 with the small box. Last year, when Ohio State played teams that were very run-oriented, they'd go with a 4-4. And I know we had more linebackers last year, but why was that such a crazy idea today when your team is getting gashed for 8 yards a carry?
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't get it. And here's the thing. So back to that, right? Lathan Ransom, I know the answer, but you know the answer. I just want you to say it instead of me. What is his biggest flaw?
He cannot stay disciplined in man coverage.
What is his biggest strength?
He is a good tackler in space.
So I just wanted to put this out there. Ronnie Hickman, 6'1", 205. Lathan Ransom, 6'1", 205. That is your first and second bullet right there because he is not good man coverage. You put Cameron Martinez at the cover safety because he can play man coverage, and we've seen that, and that just that entirely just changes the defense right there. You put Craig Young, who is 6'3", 225. Hold on. I'm sorry. This is not good podcasting, but I just have to see if he's bigger than where's 35? He's freaking bigger than Tommy Eichenberg. He's at least taller. Tommy Eichenberg's 235, but you could put 10 pounds on Craig Young, or you could keep him at 225 so he's faster. He's the same freaking size as Tommy Eichenberg, and he's your safety? How does that make sense?
It doesn't. It makes no sense. Jim Harbaugh with a shot at Ryan Day. Some people were born on third and think they hit a triple. So if that's not fuel to the fire, I don't know what is for Ryan Day. We could go on for hours about our questions about this coaching staff at this point because, you know, in wins, you could kind of gloss over them and be like, all right, we got out of there with a win because it's college football and that's really what matters at the end of the day. But when they're exposed, you need to find answers immediately. And we're trying to contextualize like some of these issues that we saw with recruiting, with all this other stuff. But at the end of the day, the only reason we're talking about these things is because we lost. So when you take that as a positive from a loss, it's time to start getting into the message board. We're all going to start discussing, and we're going to make a list for Ryan Day. I think it's time, and we're going to make some demands like the mafia movies. Like, hey, dude, we love you, but like, if you don't fix this next year, we're not going to love you as much. Yeah. Your job is his job. Like when you're really good against your rival, your job's safe. You lost once. You're the first Urban Meyer one undefeated. So it's time. Like the clock's ticking.
The one, and I want to be clear here. I really like Ryan Day. I think he's a really good coach. And eventually in the offseason, we're going to have conversations of how, in some areas, he's a better coach than Urban Meyer, because I think he is. Although maybe we won't have those conversations no more because Urban Meyer never lost to Michigan. So maybe we just won't have those. But we were at least planning to have those conversations and to really look critically at where Ryan Day is better. The one thing that I will say, especially for really big programs, there is a benefit to having a CEO head coach in the instance of this. They don't ignore a side of the ball. Ryan Day, I'm not saying he needs to give up play calling, because for the most part, he's a good play caller. But if he cannot call plays and focus on the defense, then he needs to give up play calling. Because he, I believe, and there's a lot of coaches like this, is a coach who doesn't touch the defensive side.
He wants to delegate it.
But he didn't hire anybody who was good enough to leave the defense alone.
Yeah, the reason he could with the Jeff Hafley year is because Jeff Hafley was a head coach in defensive coordinator's clothing.
And so he needs to be more on that side. He needs to be more – like literally he talked about when he changed the defensive staff, how he was upset that he had to take time away from the offensive staff. That is one of the – there are benefits to everything. There's benefits to a defensive head coach. There's benefit to an offensive head coach. There's benefit to a CEO. None is better than the other. One of the benefits, though, and Urban Meyer was a quote-unquote CEO head coach, but he mainly focused on the offense too. One of the biggest benefits is that they know the defense well enough and they do a good job. And Ryan Day either needs to hire someone – who is capable of being the quote-unquote defensive head coach so he could only focus on offense, or he needs to swallow his pride and he needs to be a CEO head coach until it gets figured out. Because him just letting the defense be what they may,
yeah,
it has not been good enough. And in literally every facet, in recruiting, and coaching, and game planning, and in-game adjustments – that is why the entire defensive staff needs to be fired. You can't look at it and be like, oh, we have four or five stars in the offense. We have 4 or 5 stars in this recruiting class. 3 of them are wide receivers. One of them's a quarterback, and be happy about your recruiting class. So Ryan Day has to look in the mirror. I think he's a really good coach. I don't think he should be fired. Someone was going to lose eventually, yeah, right? Like
it could have been Ryan Day. It could have been the next coach. The Ohio State wasn't going to go unbeaten forever.
And Urban Meyer should have lost in 16. He didn't win that game because of him.
Yeah, he won that game in spite of him and his decisions. It was literally Curtis Samuel and JT Barrett willing a team that had no business winning that game to a victory.
Because Urban Meyer did everything possible to lose that game.
Starting with having Tim Beck and Ed Warner calling plays.
Yeah, so Ryan Day's a young coach. He has to build his own legacy. He has to build it off of away from the spotlight and away from Urban Meyer. He has to get away from Urban Meyer's coaching tree. The Kerry Coombs hire was 100% an Urban Meyer thing. He has to go out. He has to find either his friends, people he trusts, people he listens to. He needs to watch film of other teams, and he needs to identify the people who scheme and recruiting can come in and fix this. Because at the biggest thing with all of this, Ohio State never should have won a national championship this year. I said that I picked them to win it this year solely for the reason that they always win when they're not supposed to. But everyone who matters on this team, I mean, not everyone, but most of the people who matter on this team are young. Tyleek Williams will be a second-year guy. Denzel Burke will be a second-year guy. Ronnie Hickman's still going to be here. Stale Chambers will have a full offseason at linebacker. That's just some people on the defense. And we have the young guys coming in, and we'll have C.J. Hicks. C.J. Stroud will be a second-year starter. Jackson Smith and Jigba will be a second-year starter. Paris Johnson Jr. should start. Luke Whipler will be a second-year starter, even though we're not fans of him because he had a bad game. Luke Whipler will be a second-year starter. Matt Jones is not leaving because he wasn't a full-time starter. He'll be a second-year starter. There's going to be a lot of people in key positions. Bryson Shaw will be a quality backup.
Yeah, and if you want to throw in two safeties next year and get quarters, like, he wasn't bad at that.
Yeah, he just shouldn't have been the single safety. So even if he does start, but if he starts with two safety, he's going to have a lot of experience. Lathan Ransom is going to have a lot of experience. Tommy Eichenberg is going to have a lot of experience. Cody Simon hopefully gets better, especially if we hire a good linebacker coach who can develop people. There's a lot of people on this team who had their ups and downs this year that will have this year with a bunch of tape and a whole offseason to get bigger, faster, stronger, and smarter.
Yeah.
Everything is on the table for them next year, which it was always going to be, because this was not the year that they should have won. We just didn't expect them to lose to Michigan. It would have been much better if they just got blew out by Georgia and not lost to Michigan.
I would like to also try to go a little further. We learned a lot about this team, and now you know what you have to fix.
Yep. And sometimes that, I mean, I know this is hard to say as an Ohio State fan. And also, we're complaining about a 2-loss season, which is
spoiled.
There's a million people who would do anything to only have a 2-loss season. But yeah, it's hard to, the hardest thing is to maintain a dynasty. Urban Meyer has never maintained a dynasty.
Yeah.
That is not his thing. Dabo Sweeney is struggling. The only coach that I know of who's ever maintained a dynasty is Nick Saban, and there have even been cracks in that.
There's cracks this year. They have the same issues that Ohio State has. They're young and they're soft.
Yeah, and what was it, 2 years ago they didn't make the playoffs? Or was it last year?
Because they beat us last year. So 2 years ago they missed
it. I'm stupid. 2 years ago they didn't even make the playoffs. So, it's hard. Ryan Day, this has been a lot of negative on this podcast, as it should have been, a lot of emotions. But I do want to say that I trust Ryan Day to figure it out. But also, this is Ohio State. It ain't Penn State, it's not Michigan, it's not Michigan State, and it's not Nebraska. Ryan Day will earn whatever contract extension he gets. We're not just going to give him one, and he's definitely not getting one off a loss.
Yeah.
So if he doesn't fix it next year, we may be looking for a new coach. And I'm not calling for that because I genuinely like Ryan Day, and I genuinely believe he is one of the best 2 or 3 coaches in the country. I want to put that out there. But you listening to this may be calling for Ryan Day. We're not giving him a 10-year extension for losing to Michigan.
No.
We're not giving him a 10-year extension for a 10-2 season. This is not a school that accepts mediocre.
The standard set. As a fan and as a graduate, the standard set, it's a national championship or bust. If I ask any of my friends, what's the expectation for this team next year, it is not just get – to the Big Ten Championship. It is not just beat Michigan, which it should be next year at all costs, because that'll get us to where you want those things to go. But the standard's national championship. The standard's 13-0. The standard's 5 straight Big Ten championships. That is the standard that's been set. It's been raised. Yeah. There are 4 or 5 teams in the country that have that similar standard set, and without national championships, it's meaningless. And that's why this podcast is hard. That's why we keep saying, looking at the offseason. There's a lot of people who are like, yeah, we made a bowl game. This is exciting. No, I don't even care. Rose Bowl, Fiesta Bowl, doesn't matter, honestly. My head's already to next year. That's why we're already talking about coaching changes. That's why we're already doing these offseason conversations on the Instant Reaction Show, because that is how immediate Ohio State fans, and I try to be impartial and I try to contextualize as much as I can, but that's how immediate we want the success.
Yeah, and here's my thing. I'm a little bit different than Chris and some fans. I won't say that I don't care about a national championship, but I respect how hard it is. I don't need Ohio State to win a national championship all the time. Ohio State has only won 3 national championships in my entire lifetime. Maybe it's 2.
It's 2.
14. It's 2 in my entire lifetime. I'm not a national championship or bust guy, but I am a Big Ten championship or bust guy. For me, and this is a little bit old school, and a lot of people don't feel this way, especially since the playoffs, the Big Ten championship is the pinnacle of the season. If we lose the national championship, now, if we won in 14, if it gets to 10 years, 15 years, 20 years without a national championship, I'm going to have a fit. But we won in 14. We won in 2002, and we won in like the freaking 70s. I can't say we need to win every year because that's just not realistic. Bama is an anomaly, but there is no reason that we should not win the Big Ten. I am a win the Big Ten guy first, and we didn't win it this year, and that's the most upsetting thing to me because Michigan needed to win a game eventually for this to win and be a rivalry. But there have been multiple years where we could have lost to Michigan and still won the Big Ten.
Yep.
And this time, we lost to Michigan, we're not going to the title game, and we're not going to the playoffs. That is the worst case scenario. There's no redeeming quality to this season. There's no, we lost to Michigan, but we're still going to the Big Ten championship game. There's no, we lost to Michigan, but we're still going to the playoffs. We're going to the freaking Rose Bowl.
Yeah, this year is honestly closer to the 6-7 Gator Bowl year or Outback Bowl. I don't even remember the bowl because it was that lost in history. Than it is any of the national championship years. It's much closer to 2010 or 11 than it was any of the last 5 years.
And to me, that is disgusting. I don't know if we said this on the show or not. We said it before. I won't say that I'm okay with losing, but Michigan needed to win this game for it to be a rivalry. But I don't like losing
before they go.
When we didn't show up. I don't like losing when it felt like the team beat themselves. I don't like losing when it's 10 penalties. It wasn't 10, but it felt like it. I don't like losing when we give up a penalty in every big moment, and if we don't give up a penalty, we give up a sack. I don't like losing when literally, and I will call him this, an offensive savant just decides not to show up.
Yeah.
I don't like losing when the best wide receiver in Ohio State history foregoes the league for another year and then
doesn't throw
in the ball. Like, I don't like losing when we have the best freshman running back we've ever had. And we don't win the Big Ten? Like, come on. I don't care about a national championship. I was about to go on an Allen Iverson run.
Yeah.
Like, not a championship, but the Big Ten. I hope you
get that. Yeah, no, I think most people will. We're not talking about championships. We're talking about the Big Ten championship.
But you don't win the Big Ten. I'm disgusted.
And at the end of the day, I'm upset. Who's that old Cardinals coach? They are who we thought they were. That's the team, honestly. They ended up being fraudulent. They ended up being soft. And, you know, I think this offseason is going to be a lot of scratching. Like, content-wise, we're going to do our best to give you guys the best. So when it comes time for Ohio State to come back, your guys' expectations are where they need to be. And I want to be quoted. I think at the end of the day, I think coaches – don't really have their ears on anything when they're winning, but when they lose, they hear everything. When they lose, they look at all the haters and they'll mark us. And when next year comes around, they're going to have all the people who were talking nationally and all that stuff, the bulletin board material, because it is driving. It's a driving force when you're coming back. But like when Ohio State put up the score of the Clemson game in the Woody Hayes, I can't wait till that. The clock of days since they beat us restarts. I think that's the only motivation they need moving forward. And I think that, honestly, unless we want to talk like a few positives, I think that's all I've got for the rest of the show without like repeating this same show for 5 hours, which I think the fans might want.
I mean, honestly, I think for me, I don't have much else. I will say that for just to provide a little bit of perspective, for the future of Ohio State, we needed this. I genuinely think that we did because Ryan Day is a really, really, really good coach. But like, if I was Jim Harbaugh, I wouldn't talk crap when I'm 0-5 and I finally get a win.
Yeah, you can't talk.
But his statement holds true that Ryan Day was born on third base.
Yeah,
he was born with a program that, like, that is not a job that a first year coach gets. And so now, because of this loss, because of some of the young guys, because of some of the issues, because of the defensive stuff, Ryan Day has to earn this job. And you have to face some adversity. Now, Urban Meyer's adversity was losing to Michigan State and Purdue. And you could say that that is better adversity than losing to Michigan. And if you wanted to say that, I would hear you on that. Because you want to face adversity and still beat your rival. But losing to your rival, I do genuinely believe, has some benefits. Because Ryan Day can't hide. He's going to look at this season and he's going to say the two biggest games that we had, Oregon and Michigan, we lost.
Yeah.
The defense didn't do it. We had these young guys. Al Washington didn't get it done. We had Kerry Coombs didn't get it done. We had to put a young guy who was never a defensive coordinator at this level, Matt Barnes, we had to put him in there. I promoted two of my friends, two young guys, and Keenan Bailey and Parker Fleming. That probably wasn't a good idea. I didn't go out and recreate the Jeff Hafley hire. I didn't take someone from the NFL. I didn't take someone from another team because, excuse my language, but we're Ohio State and we can steal the ball from, we can steal a coach from anybody because we have the balls to do it. Like, he didn't do any of that. He accepted the status quo. He raised his friends. He took two Urban Meyer disciples and Kerry Coombs and Urban Meyer's son-in-law. He did that and he didn't build his identity. And so that is a positive because I do think Ryan Day is a really good coach and I do think he has an identity. I think he's going to go to the offseason and say,
we got to refine
Urban Meyer's identity. Urban Meyer's identity didn't work. This needs to be me.
Yeah, it needs to be him.
I need to hire my guy.
When Ohio State was at its best the last 2 years, it was with a physical ground and pound run game that opened up the play action pass, and Ryan Day lost his identity, and now it's time for him to go find it. It's time for a vision quest, whatever he needs, to go on a journey and come back ready to cut off heads.
Yeah. And I'm sorry. I mean, I shouldn't be the one to apologize, but I'm sorry for all the fans that it took a Michigan loss to do it. But I am genuinely confident, and this is the weirdest thing I've said the entire podcast, but I'm genuinely confident that Ohio State is going to be better for it. Because I've talked all year about petty Ryan Day. And
I hope all the fans doubt him because it'll bring the pettiest of Ryan Day.
Yeah. The one thing that I want to say, and I hate providing excuses for people, right? I really do. There's a line between a reason and an excuse. But Ryan Day is a young coach who got the second or third biggest job in America. He was always going to make mistakes. And it's not an excuse, but he was always going to make mistakes. And I think this makes him a better coach.
Yeah.
I genuinely do, because I genuinely believe in him. And I hope the people listening do as well. But he was handed a Ferrari. Like Jim Harbaugh said, he was born on third base. He hadn't struggled at all. And if it doesn't make him a better coach, he'll get fired.
Yeah, that's true.
I genuinely think it'll make him a better coach, and I think Ohio State's better for him.
We've talked about it before. A lot of people have talked about it before. The difference is Ryan Day got his first head coaching job at Ohio State. Every little thing. What is it? Urban Meyer got to learn how to be a head coach at Bowling Green at Utah?
At Bowling Green and Utah.
So
both. He was at Bowling Green, then he went to Utah before he got his
first. And that was before Utah was a prominent program in any regard. They were just there.
He made Utah a prominent program.
So he's going to – it's once again he's his back's against the wall. We'll see what we get from Ryan Day. We've seen him respond really well to adversity before. He's made some good hires, but now it's time to see if he can do it again.
It's time for him to believe in himself. It's time for it. Like, we listen. I did not come on this to disparage Urban Meyer. I promise. I know a lot of you probably don't like that we talked about Urban Meyer, but it's not been a good year for Urban Meyer's coaching tree. Mm-hmm. Keenan Bailey, Kerry Coombs, Dan Mullen, whoever Urban Meyer got hired at Colorado. I don't remember his
Steve
name.
Adazio.
But I know it's an Urban Meyer. Steve Adazio. And then you, if you include Tom Herman from last year, this has not been a good year for Urban Meyer's tree. Ryan Day needs to build his own tree.
Yeah, it's time.
He needs to go out, find the other Halfley, find the right guy. And maybe it's not Marcus Freeman.
It's someone. But, you know, there's someone out there.
But there is someone who wants to come to Ohio State. Arkansas was all positive and whatever. They ended up 7-5. That's a good coordinator. Nobody wants to freaking coach in Iowa. I mean, the defense has fallen a little bit, but that's a decent coordinator. There are people
out there
in this country.
So go get them. Go to the NFL. Like that's what Harbaugh did. Like that's what that's like kind of the whole point of this podcast is now you have someone to look at that is in your own conference that is better than you. So go be better than them again.
Yep. And go do something that hasn't happened. And, you know, hey, I've said it multiple times. You've said it multiple times. An Ohio State team was always going to lose this game. I genuinely believe, and I know there's a lot of Ohio State fans who don't like this opinion, but I'm someone who wants Michigan to be good because I think it's better. It's better for the rivalry when they're good. It's better for the rivalry when we lose. I hate saying it, but it is. It just means more. And we lost. And Michigan's good. And they're going to be confident. And they're going to spend a year talking shit that has been under control for 10 years.
And
Ohio State players,
they have to come
fans,
back
coaches,
to Columbus for the first time in 3 years.
And we're going to lay it on them.
And that's what it's all about.
Ohio State by 50 in 2022. That is what it is. So I don't have anything else to say about this.
Yeah,
I'll leave it to you for any final words. I just think for me, we lost. It's upsetting. I think in this hour and 15 minutes, we tried to lay it all out there. But I believe in Ryan Day. I will believe a little bit in him. I will believe in him a little bit less if in the next couple of days we don't hear about some coaching firings. But like at this point that we're recording the podcast, I believe in Ryan Day. I think this needed to happen. Jim Harbaugh deserved it because he earned it. Shout out to Michigan, just because I do think you need to respect your rivals a little bit. You don't have to like them.
I don't think we did going into this game, and that was the biggest part of the problem.
Yeah. Yep. We didn't, and neither did the team. Shout out to Michigan. Shout out to Jim Harbaugh. And I can't wait to put 50 on them next year after Jim Harbaugh signs his 10-year contract extension with the Wolverines. Do you have any final thoughts, words, positive, negative, anything?
This sucks. I'm not a player, so I can't imagine how bad it sucks for them. You never want to be the team that loses a streak, and this team was, with a lot of guys who returned who probably could have gone pro last year, leaving with a sour taste in their mouth. I think we need to – I think the identity is Ohio State is the chaser, and I think it's time to get back and start chasing again. Urban Meyer's old mantra, it's all about the chase. That's what it's all about. So I will see you guys Friday. Jordan's got you guys on Monday. So you'll be hearing a lot of us over the next couple weeks, and we're going to be talking a lot more about this and a lot more about the season and a lot more about what needs to happen.
100%. Just before we end, just a housekeeping note, and I do apologize and I understand that this is weird, but this is an instant recap podcast. So you're going to hear from us after the bowl game. You'll hear from us sparingly in basketball season if you're a basketball fan, but this particular podcast will not be around as much because this is not an off-season podcast.
Yeah.
So you'll see us in the bowl game. You'll see us in basketball season. But in this particular format, there's not going to be a whole lot of me and Chris. So if you only listen to this, please listen to Buck Off. If you like me and Chris, please listen to the I-70 show with me and Dante. I mean, Landgrant, Holy Land is not going away. But I don't want to end this podcast, and then especially if you're any new listeners, and then you wonder why you're not seeing this all the time.
Yeah.
It's an instant recap podcast. We'll do it for, but I mean, basketball has a million games, so we're only going to do the big games in basketball, and then we do the TBT tournament, just because we never talk about the structure, we just talk about the games. I apologize. I know it's a little bit weird after this loss, but if you're a new podcast listener,
yeah, we got one more of us
other podcasts
for football
in this format. Yeah, in this format, we're not going to be here as much, but one more football game. the occasional big basketball game, March Madness TBT, but you can hear me and Chris on Buckoff. You can hear me on I-70, hang out in the Holy Land, talk like a girl.
Play like a girl.
There will be a play. I promise. I thought that sounded weird. Play like a girl. Our recruiting podcast, The Dotted Line.
Bucketheads.
End Conversation, Bucketheads. Land Grant, Holy Land's not going
we'll
away.
Still be writing the stuff here and there. So
yeah,
we'll be around. And yeah, obviously follow us on Twitter. I'm at Chris Rennie CFB.
And I'm Jordan W330.
And with that,
it's kind of the end. It was weird being the voice of the first Ohio State loss to Michigan in 10 years.
We will see you guys.
But we appreciate you listening and go.
I'm going to play Call of Duty till next season. No, I'm just kidding.